Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our Old Testament lesson from Exodus chapter 13. Well, did everyone have a good Christmas? Hope you did. Lots of folks nodding their heads out there. Yep, that's good. That's good. We're in that special time now between Christmas and New Year's where many folks take that time off if you're fortunate to be able to do so. And many of you are already retired, so you got that time off anyway, so that's good for you. But it's a time, too, in which I take a little time off after Christmas. Been a little busy during that time, and so I like to take off that time. And usually we have family coming in, and we have some, a couple of our kids came in from Arizona and from China, so they're here, and that's fantastic, as well as three friends came up from Savannah, spent some time with us too, and that's been awesome as well. So how about those gifts? Did anybody get a special gift? Now, some of you are probably thinking special gift, like, wow, I can't believe I got that. And then the others are thinking, well, it's pretty cool. Well, there's some things that we do for our sons, special gift, unique gift, whatever you want to call it, is we give them puzzles. Now, we're not talking about jigsaw puzzles. We're talking about those puzzles that, you know, you got to take apart. You know, they're hard to take apart and then hard to put back together again. So we usually do that every year. Well, there's one year in which we didn't do that. And, my oldest son, he's a little disappointed because when we talked to him after Christmas, he's like, hey, did get puzzled this year. Like, oh? He goes, yeah, I missed that. I was looking forward to it. I'm like, okay, all right. So the next year, we made sure that we got our son some puzzles. Well, this time when we talked to him, he's like, this one's a challenge. I'm like, oh, really? I was kind of glad to hear that after the previous year that he didn't get one. You know, he couldn't figure it out. And so he was able to get it apart, but he found it almost impossible to put back together again. Well, I like that, right? It was a good gift then, special gift, a puzzle. Well, a puzzle, though, is kind of what some folks think about the birth of the Christ child. It's like a puzzle. People think about why did he come, what was he here to do, those kinds of things. They had pre-expectations, especially back in Old Testament times, back there, what this Messiah was going to be, what this Christ child was going to be. But fortunately, though, God had everything planned out. And so let's see if we can puzzle out what God's plans were by looking at our Old Testament lesson for today. It starts off with, the Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine. And then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. What we have here is God speaking. All right, when he talks about Lord there in particular, all right, that is Yahweh. That's God's name. And so whenever you have God's name specifically mentioned there like that, basically that means pay attention. And you set up and listen. Because what is God saying here? He's saying, consecrate to me the firstborn, whether 'tis man or beast. God is establishing a command here for all Israel to do. Why? It is a reminder of the fact that the children of Israel were brought out of slavery from the land of Egypt. And who did that? Who did the saving? Well, that saving was done by the strong hand of the Lord. But you're probably thinking, didn't God give them Passover as a way to remember this? Like, didn't he ask him to do that? You know, make sure this is mentioned here. You know, don't eat any leavened bread, which means that, well, they needed to make sure that this was going to be kind of a eat-and-run meal. Because that's what was going to happen that night. They're going to have food to eat. No leavened bread. Leavened bread takes time for it to rise. You don't have time for the bread to rise, which means you don't. It's got to be unleavened bread. Wasn't that what that was all about? Well, yes, it was. But also, too, there was something else here that's being mentioned. What is it? What was the very last plague that God put upon the Egyptians? It was what? Plague number 10? The death of the firstborn. firstborn sons, firstborn of animals as well. So, what did the angel of the Lord do? Well, the angel of the Lord was going to go out there and kill all the firstborn of the Egyptians. But how were the people to be spared? Well, the people were going to be spared if they sacrificed a lamb then and paint then the blood of that lamb on the doorposts. And so then the angel of the Lord would pass over their house. Now, if there were some Hebrews there that did not do that, well, then their firstborn sons and their firstborn animals would die as a failure to listen to the Lord's command. Therefore, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are male shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, "What does this mean?" you shall say to him, "By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. And when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem." Now God uses this as a reminder that every firstborn male, whether it is man or beast, a sacrifice must be made. It's a reminder. If you think about it, Passover's one time of the year. For this to happen, it doesn't matter what time of the year it is. Every time here, it's a reminder of God's saving act for Israel. Because God does not demand the sacrifice of children, a lamb is offered up to redeem that son. A way of honoring God and giving thanks for the redemption of their firstborn. Now, how does all of this give us clues then for what the Christ child, the Messiah, was to do? Think of it in these terms. Lambs for people. Kill the lamb, save the child. It's all about redeeming people. Now consider what the Christ child was to be called much later on in his life. It was spoken of by his cousin, John the Baptist. When he saw Jesus, he said what? "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It all starts to come into focus, does it not? Lambs were killed in order to redeem people. Remember, redeeming means buying back, making a payment that is due. Back in the day there, if you borrowed money from somebody and you couldn't pay back your debt, many times, if that were the case, you couldn't pay it back, well then, what? You became the slave of the person from whom you borrowed money. Later on, they just made up prison. They just threw you into prison until somebody could pay your debt for you. How'd you like to do that with your credit cards, huh? It's kind of what's going on here. And so what somebody had to do then is that you stayed in prison then until somebody else, usually a relative, would come in and pay your debts. Old Testament called those folks kinsmen redeemers. So what ties lambs and redeeming together? Sin. Funny how that always comes up in a sermon, does it not? Sin, those disobedience against God. No matter what we have done against God, well, what ends up happening then is that we end up racking up a debt against God. And it needs to be paid. And how is that payment going to be made? Well, that payment is going to be made with your life. It's going to cost you your life, your death, in order to satisfy that debt. It was true back then. Still true today. No puzzle there. See, the practice of redeeming the firstborn is the clue as to why the Christ child came. Jesus was born to die. He was born to grow up, live his life, and then die on the cross. It is through his death on the cross, then, that earned the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus, God's firstborn, was to be the Lamb of sacrifice for all people. And that is why Jesus is called our Redeemer. He paid our debt, And with his dying on the cross, what were his last words? He said, "It is finished." Another way of translating that is paid in full. You see, it is through his death on the cross that he paid in full our debt of sin to God. Hard thing to take, quite frankly, as we're this close to celebrating the birth of the Christ child. Because in our eyes there, what do we see? We've got the creche up there, and you'll see it up there as you come up for communion. You know, the little baby Jesus all wrapped up in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That's what we think of at this time of year. But it's the same Jesus who was born, the Christ child, who is also our Redeemer, who is to grow up and give his life as a ransom for many. That helps us appreciate all the more what Jesus has done for us. Well, this year we gave out puzzles again. This time it's my youngest son who's having a hard time getting that puzzle taken apart. You know, and I always chuckle when that happens, and then they give it to me, and it's like, "Here, Dad, you do it." You know, and I have a hard time, so they get the chuckle back. But anyway, he's okay. He got his gift. And this gift that God has given us as well, while we may not understand all the details, and we may not be able to take it all apart, but one thing that we can know and understand is that that gift given to us in the Christ child was given with love. Love for you and me. Love that says that, yes, indeed, yes, you owe me a lot, but my son has taken care of your debt. He has paid it in full. You are forgiven. He rose from the grave alive. Yes, that gives you the hope of everlasting life, so that, yes, you can come to my home. Be at my home forever. And that is something that, when you think about it, makes it a very Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise now.